Good evening and welcome to Disney Discord Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Graham, with DLRP Roundup, and tonight I'm joined by
Bernardo from the Main Street News. Hello.
Hello,
Graham.
Bernardo. Oh, it's been a day. I've been at work all day, so I'm very happy to be here talking Disneyland Paris.
That's amazing. I'm too. Yeah.
It's been an interesting time because we still haven't had a huge amount. Brought out officially. However, we can tell rather unofficially by looking at some of the visuals by DLP Works that there's certainly a lot going on in Disneyland Paris just now.
There definitely is. From Disney Village to everything going on with Walt Disney Studios, and of course the Disneyland Park, which is receiving some updates to some attractions, some restaurants, and even a new churros, stand, which was a very pleasant surprise, as I love churros. So I'm very excited to check that out.
I'm not a churros person, so that is of little interest. what we've got tonight, you are, of course, in the Disney Discord podcast. We record this live on our Discord, and you can probably tell by the time it comes out, there's very little editing ever goes into this podcast. Mm-hmm. So if you have anything you want to say, anything you want to contribute, you can either jump on the stage with us and discuss it in, you know, audio. And if you don't want to do that, jump in the chat box and you can join us live. It is an interactive podcast. We come on this with a very loose agenda and usually end up talking a lot of nonsense by the end of it. So I've got the pictures up from DLP Works, which is really cool because they only put them up about 4 hours ago. So they're relatively new. Well, they're 4 hours. The tweet's 4 hours old. They probably were released days ago. The tweets are relatively new. And what we're probably looking at just now is a massive speed up on, or what looks to be a massive speed up, getting finished and ready, because we've got happening now. Well, not happening right now, but very soon. We've got the Alice in Wonderland show going back into the Motors Action Theatre.
Mm-hmm. Which has been renamed. It has been renamed to Theatre of the Stars. So a bit of a callback to old Walt Disney Studios, which was very nice, I thought.
Well,
but yeah.
The interesting news is they're going to be using it again soon, and obviously we know that the entrance needs to be built up pretty quickly, because you need to be able to get into the theatre. So,
yes,
I think that's probably why we're seeing this massive push at the sort of closer end of the lake, to very quickly try and build out some infrastructure that people can walk on.
Yeah, it's quite the possibility. So we know that the lake and everything around it with Frozen and the promenade, that's only going to happen or going to open back in next year. So
yeah,
if it opens next year, it'll be nice. We are expecting for the second part of the year. But as you said, the Alice in Wonderland show, the new Alice Back to Wonderland. No, Alice and the Queen of Hearts Back to Wonderland. Yeah, that's the full name of the show. That brand new show, you know, we're not still certain how you'll be able to get into the theater itself. So some people think it's through Avengers Campus. I personally don't think that's going to happen. And I think that a brand new entrance is being built as we speak, like you said.
I'm pretty sure it's the new entrance, and I'm pretty sure just from looking at it, I mean, if you're on site, you can see that if you walk up the side of Tower of Terror and you walk out of Avengers Campus all the way along at the right, you come to the, I forget what they've called it now, but it used to be the Cafe Cascadeur.
The Super Diner, I think that's...
Yeah, Super Diner. Yeah, if you go there, there's a very obvious point there where the road is just going to continue on. That is currently construction ground. Currently, you know, not suitable. However, the time to lay concrete and the time to put in, you know, move the wall, it'll not take Disneyland Paris very long to very quickly, put in a walkway. So
yeah, and it's just from looking at the pictures from DLP Works that they just posted, you clearly see that there's a huge base of concrete on the back of the old facades of the Sancho.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they're gonna connect it via walkway to Avengers Campus.
There'll be two entrances effective. Well, two forks in the road that'll then join on to one, which is obviously you can go about Avengers Campus, or I think the other one's gonna be you can walk up alongside Tower of Terror and then join the path that way. That works quite well. It's interesting that it hasn't been themed to Avengers and hasn't been made into some sort of stunt show for the Avengers. I would have bet money that was what they were gonna do.
Yeah.
It seems too obvious.
It's pretty crazy. They completely went against all odds and made a Alice in Wonderland stunt show when there's Avengers Campus right there. So that's a bit of an odd decision, I guess.
It makes me think that potentially it's not for the longest time. Like, I think there's a good possibility this is a season or two show, and possibly maybe next year. But I don't see Alice hanging around forever.
There's just one thing that makes me kind of wonder, because when the works are done with the lake and everything around it, that the entrance to the stunt arena will be via the English Gardens sort of area. So in a way, I guess Alice could, you know, still kind of fit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I can see they could force it to fit. They can absolutely, they can absolutely make it work. But I don't know. It just seems such an odd, odd idea.
It is.
One thing I should say, okay, the costuming from the pictures we got, we got them. Was it this week we got them or last week, something like that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was this week.
We got them then, and the one thing it gave me sort of flashbacks to was Disneyland Resort in California in the California Adventure had the Mad Hatter's Tea Party or the Mad Tea Party or something.
Oh yeah.
And they had that. That was kind of dance and electronic music and stuff. And it was really good. Like, I was lucky enough to be there while it was on. And it was very, very good. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. And they had, like, the White Rabbit DJ and everything. And it was pretty good. So there is a possibility that the Alice in Wonderland show could be on during the day. And then it could evolve into almost like I don't want to say a rave, but some sort of live DJ set at night when it's peak.
That's actually a good idea. Yeah.
It's quite easy to do as well. Like, for Disneyland Paris, they have the audiovisual kit on site. They can very easily put on. One of the big problems they had when they done Electroland is Electroland effectively shut down the whole of Walt Disney Studios. And it attracted an awful lot of complaints from parents who were like, you can't really avoid teenagers and drunks and However, if you kind of put the rave, we'll call it the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, up into the back corner, you could certainly do weekend events in the arena. And if it's themed to Alice in Wonderland already, you've kind of got that
idea. Do you remember last summer, during the summer season, Avengers Campus had a DJ from like 7 p.m. all the way to or 6 p.m.? So in a way, they've already kind of tested like a DJ kind of setting around that area. Interesting you mentioned that.
They do. I mean, Disneyland Paris, to their credit, I mean, Electroland was absolutely amazing. And then you used to get the Halloween party as well. You got the Disney DJ, but you also, I mean, one year, I think the Star Wars DJ, was it not like Steve Aoki or something? I think I was there.
Oh, wow.
But I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was Steve Aoki. So it's like these are big DJs that they've had playing at Disneyland Paris. And they've had, you know, lots of stuff like that. Yeah, they had Steve Aoki, Armin van Buuren. Like they've had the big DJs of Europe.
Well,
and they've played in the Walt Disney Studios. And I think that, you know, if you gave it a 5,000, I think it's 5,000 seats or something. It's maybe not as many as 5,000 seats.
I think it's 4K. It's a very big arena.
Yeah. So you take that, and you've got the amusing thing. Yeah, I mean, it says there. Hang on, I googled it. Walt Disney Studios Park.
Mm-hmm.
It does up to 5,000. So.
Oh wow! Yeah, it's very big.
So it's a huge, huge ability. You could hold like a mini sort of Electroland every single weekend in Disneyland Paris throughout the summer, sitting in that stadium.
Yeah.
Instant.
And it's a very it doesn't affect the rest of the park. So it's kind of its own thing. Well, Disney, you don't need to credit us or anything, but just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I mean, this I don't know. There's a bit, but it's like, I just think it seems they've pulled out an awful lot of the nighttime entertainment, and they couldn't really get the Hurricanes nightclub to ever work in Disneyland Paris. They've kind of pulled out an awful lot off the Billy Bob's live shows, and we've seen that they've dedicated more and more space from that to being a restaurant. So it makes me think that we might be seeing, you know, an ability. I mean, people can't, if you're a teenager or you're, you know, a young adult, you don't really want to watch Dreams every night in life. So it could be another piece of entertainment that Disneyland Paris could offer. So.
Yeah. So it's a very good idea. And then LP Works has also posted some very amazing, you know, updates regarding everything around the stunt arena with the lake and the promenade, and you know, it's getting there, right?
Yeah.
These last months, the changes have been huge. Like the restaurant, restaurant has completely gone up. It was nothing like a couple of months ago. I was there in December. The last video I made regarding Walt Disney Studios and the works was in December. So like December 1st or something. I'm going back there this week. I'm very excited to shoot a brand new video. And I'm very excited to check all the progress. But it finally seems it's getting there. And I'm very excited to see where it goes next.
I'm kind of shocked that it's prefabricated, to be totally honest. I didn't know it was prefab.
Everything over at Avengers Campus was prefabricated as well. Like Web Adventure was completely gone up like this, like a very big Lego set.
Mm-hmm.
And Frozen is going like that as well. I guess it's quicker to build it. I don't know.
Well, it certainly seems it, because it's gone from having nothing to suddenly being there, so that makes sense. The one thing I did want to touch on, you can see in the photos, the Frozen Land is definitely, it's already getting themed, which is far along.
Yeah. So a lot of the village facades have been completed. You've got the entrance to... So are you looking at the photos right now?
Yeah, I've got them up.
So the blue kind of facade closer to us will be the entrance to the meet and greet with everyone. And then the other two to the left, so they're currently building the big clock tower. That's going to be the entrance to Frozen Ever After, which is very exciting. And the thing I don't get, though,
do you not think it's almost like it's too early?
I don't know. I still haven't checked. I've been meaning to check the progress over at Hong Kong's, like, see where we're at and where they were at.
But the only reason I ask is because, I mean, Tiana's Bayou Adventure is opening the Magic Kingdom this summer.
Yeah.
And it already, it's just got its facade unveiled.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's opening in months. It's opening in 3 months. Which just, I don't know. It just, to me, it seemed like, wow, if the facade's on, we're like, this is not a joke. Yeah, yeah, this is happening, and it's happening soon. And that's just me getting excited. I totally understand I'm getting excited. But it just seems very far off. Like, we've gone from that grey exterior, which I guess I expected until late in the year, and then I didn't expect it to take kind of shape until the tail end of the year. The second thing that we're seeing is the lake is already being filled, and just
things like that.
Now, I understand, so I've done a little bit of digging on this, because everybody was getting a bit, you know, why is the lake filling in such, but it turns out that Disneyland Paris reclaim an awful lot of water. They reclaim an awful lot of water. They have water treatment plants and everything on site. And one of the things that they've been doing is they normally have to dispel an awful lot of water through the sewage network at this time of year. Once you get through winter, there's kind of the post-winter meltdown and it's a lot wetter season. So they have apparently taken advantage of the fact that they'd be doing an awful lot of runoff at this time of year, and have decided instead that it can be diverted to the lake.
Well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And they've also said it's going to take, I believe, 6 months to get everything filled. Yeah. So they're definitely going to fill, and
If you look at the lake, it almost looks like it has two levels, and they haven't quite carved out or built the second level. Like, there's the deep basin, and then it almost looks like there's a second basin they're going to try and go up to, where the rocks are. And I think they've probably, they don't seem to be, they've done the basic stuff, and I think they're going to have to, I mean, if they're going to put in a night show, we know they're going to have to start testing soon, because it takes them, you know, from new technology to delivery, it's going to take them between 3 and 6 months, so.
Yeah.
I'd think that's probably a summer job as well.
Yeah.
It's quite impressive. I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, personally, I'm very excitable. So if they told me they were pulling it forward, I'd believe them.
Yeah. Very
exciting. The other thing, one other thing is Bob Iger. This is just me pontificating, so everybody will tell me I'm wrong. And you're more than welcome to tell me I'm wrong. But Bob Iger is busy promising big projects. And Bob Iger, as we know, was only on a 2-year sort of contract. And I think, I'm not saying the whole project will get under.
That's been extended since then, I think.
Yeah, but it's still temporary, is it not? Like, it's not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So one of the things I think, and this is, again, just my speculation, but him delivering new expansions and new areas, and I'm not saying the whole lake, but if you could get part of the lake open, and if he could do part of something, I think that it would be one of those things that he could be like, look, we said we're spending all this money. We have now spent and opened this. I think there's probably a rush on to very quickly, you know, expansions that are already in flight seem to all be speeding up.
Yeah. Yeah, look at Tiana's Bayou Adventure, which was supposed to open, you know, in the later part of the year, and has been pushed, or not pushed, but it's been built a lot quicker than I guess we were anticipating, and it's opening this summer. So that's an example. And
now, I don't think we're going to get anything this summer, but I do think that if I was going to bet, I think we're going to see some of the lake stuff opening a lot sooner than we think.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. I mean, I'm not sure, of course, but one thing I am certain is that next year they don't have a lot of stuff going on around any of the parks. The whole focus will be on Walt Disney Studios, which is something quite scary to say in a way. I mean, it has to happen next year, and you know, it has to be exciting, and it has to be fresh, and people need to like, you know, it's gotta be big, because there's nothing else going on. And I mean, I'm not sure if you want to leave this subject yet, but this kind of leads us to this D23 Expo, which I think is going to be quite big as well, because again, they don't have anything going on.
So they need to knock it out of the park now, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And they need to commit and announce something somewhere, because this is not sustainable. They've been saying they're going to invest $60 billion in their worldwide parks for the next 10 years. It's very amazing. It's spectacular, but there's nothing going on. They need to commit and they need to announce something. And I think that's going to happen this D23 Expo.
I think so too. And I think with Universal opening in Great Britain, which, you know, obviously I'm still a somewhat skeptic of that project, I think that the pressure is now on for Disney to respond. And they're being fought in all their key territories. So they're being fought in Orlando with Epic Universe and have nothing of great note to announce in response. They are being fought now across in Europe with potentially with a brand new theme park, and they're being fought on the idea of Universal Texas Kids or whatever it is. So they're being fought all over the world, and I don't, you know, it's one thing for Bob to say, "Oh, we're spending some money, so we're totally going to, you know, win this." But the truth is, they need to have, you know, people need to be able to look at it. People book holidays and plan vacations and plan trips on the basis of things actually existing that you can go and touch. They don't book it on, "Oh, well, Bob says over the next 10 years, you're not going to believe how good Disney will be." The other thing is they've found that they're now pricing people out. That people are now, there is a genuine concern they've gone too high on their pricing. Now, they'll not drop their pricing, but we've seen them reintroduce some of their perks. We've seen them, the amount things are going up by seems to have slowed somewhat. And I think that Disney have taken for granted the sort of revenge travel from COVID and misinterpreted that to believe that people will spend that year on year and year. And the greatest insight, I think I was reading one of the travel agents that I follow on Twitter in the Disney bubble, and they were saying there's more and more people now looking at cruises as all-inclusive sort of family vacations rather than looking at Disney parks, which that is interesting. Disney themselves must have noticed this, because they're building ships as fast. In fact, they're now building more ships than they had in the first, like, 5 years of Cruise Line.
Yeah, they're currently building, what is it, like, three ships?
I think they're building
three right now.
Yeah, and one of them's huge. One of them's, like, mega ship.
Well, yeah, they bought it. They bought it from another company.
Yeah, the Global Dream.
Yeah, that was one of the last things Chapek did to save his position, I guess.
One of the things you've got, though, I mean, if you look at Royal Caribbean and you look at Costa Cruises or you look at MSC Cruises, they all now have their own private islands and things. Like the whole idea, like Castaway Cay and everything, has now been completely not stolen, but other cruise lines do exactly what Disney does now. And Disney,
exclusive thing, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of the cruise lines have gone all-inclusive and put gratuities and everything in as well. They've just followed the Disney model. Now, the problem for Disney is, it's, you know, everybody wants to travel, everybody thinks Disney's a great brand, but is it worth double, triple what you were already paying? And I think they're
very expensive compared to others, yeah.
Yeah. So, some very interesting things happening on the cruise front. And some very interesting things happening in general with the parks. I think Disneyland Paris is probably the only park that's got anything huge going on just now. Everybody keeps teasing that the Magic Kingdom any moment now is going to have, you know, really crazy works coming out. But again, I'd probably temper your expectation. The Magic Kingdom has an entrance and an exit problem. It has a capacity problem all over. And I don't think Disney are not that well served continually loading more into the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, it's becoming a bit of a problem. Well, a bit, not a bit, but a very big problem. And I think you were just mentioning the entrance and the exit. What if they pulled a similar thing that Tokyo Disneyland is getting with Fantasy Springs, which is kind of its separate thing? I mean, it has its own entrance, its own exit, and it's very separate from the rest of the park, from Tokyo Disney Sea. So what if they kind of built like this very big area that is part of the Magic Kingdom, but not quite? You know what I mean?
A park within a park sort of thing.
Yeah. That could maybe be an interesting idea with the old, what's beyond Big Thunder project.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just came up. I mean, so, well, you were talking and I just thought, huh, that could be interesting.
The problem is the Magic Kingdom, for anybody who's been there at the end of the night, knows absolutely getting out is hell. Mm-hmm. So you can only make that worse to a certain point, and then you've got to come up with another way to get out. And you know, they might come up with a way. They may come up with some trick. You could probably go out the back way. There's a road that runs all the way around the Magic Kingdom. I'm sure they could come up with some magical bus or something that plays you a video.
didn't they have something that would get you from one part to the other, like a bus? You paid like extra. Don't you remember that? It was a very strange concept. Like you.
Well, the minivan thing. Beach.
Yeah, that was it. That was such a strange concept.
Given that Walt Disney, I mean, this is why it's quite sad. Walt Disney himself, and I hate to be this like tropey, but Walt Disney himself was a transport man. Like, there's a good argument that Walt Disney only built the parks so that he could come up with transportation for the parks, because
he loved public transportation.
I mean, everybody goes on about how he built the rides at the back of Disneyland and things and facts like that, but he actually didn't. He gave most of that away to the Imagineers. Walt Disney wanted to know all about the trains, he wanted to know all about the boats, he wanted to know all about the canoes, he wanted to know all about the monorails. That was what Walt Disney spent most of his time doing, was... Walt Disney would go to the Magic Kingdom just now and be like, well, you've missed the whole point, there should be more transport around here. So... He used to think that using buses was always like the worst way to do it. Like he was very like, why are we using buses when we could, you know?
Yeah. Use a monorail, people mover, just come up with something else.
He
like
was a Epcot. Transport man.
The whole idea of Epcot was the experimental prototype community of tomorrow. It was all about transportation. So he really was a kind of transportation guy, I guess.
He was a transportation guy, and he, I just think if he was at the Magic Kingdom as it closes now, he'd be like, "What is going on here? We're needing a train or a people mover or a slingshot or, you know, we're needing something because this is just, you know, just why have we only got the same three boats that I designed? Why don't we have 20 boats? Why don't we, you know?" He would just, I can imagine.
Yeah, 100%.
They do have a problem in the sense that people love going to the Magic Kingdom, but the problem is the Magic Kingdom doesn't have it does have space, but it's almost like they created their own problem. Disneyland Resort's much the same. However, did you watch that's all now been approved? Disneyland Resort Forward is going ahead.
Yeah, they've passed that stage. I think there's one more stage that they need to get the signatures on. So the first stage was a complete success. They've got everyone's signature except one guy, I think. But yeah, it was a very fantastic development because it just proves how the city of Anaheim is on Disney's side, which wasn't the case when they, you know, made all those restrictions, I think 20, 25 years ago, which is why they can't build whatever they can or whatever they want. So very exciting.
It is very exciting.
They have a lot of space. People always assume that Anaheim's Disneyland is very. I mean, they have some space problems, but they have a huge parking lot, which is the size or even bigger than Disney's California Adventure. So they could literally build another Disney's California Adventure. It's a standard parking lot, just one level. I mean, come on. There's a whole world of opportunities and ideas that they can explore and build a third gate. But yeah, of course the Disneyland Forward program isn't about a third gate. It's about loosening restrictions and being able to develop other plots of land they have.
I think what you're probably likely to see, I think what's probably likely to happen, not now, but 10 years from now, maybe 20, I would think that Disneyland Resort will cease to be gates and probably just become Disneyland Resort. And then...
Oh, interesting. So it's kind of one merge everything together, like
there's just significant cost saving you can get from taking out that central plaza and instead just having a gate, and you get a bit more space as well. And I mean, they basically pack both the parks out all the time anyway, so it's a good way to, you know, there's an awful lot of people, they struggle with DCA to get people out of Disneyland Park when it's open later. So people stay in the Disneyland Park usually when it's the park is open later.
Mm-hmm.
They struggle to get them across to DCA because, you know, it's a psychological sort of barrier. I'll leave this park and then I've got to hassle myself all the way across there. But if you could jump on a people mover, a monorail, and get to the other side of DCA, it wouldn't feel like you were leaving one park. It would feel like, oh, this is nice and balanced. Because they kind of say quite often they have enough capacity if people would split themselves better. And at some point, they would split themselves better if the two parks were one park.
Yeah, I guess that could be something to explore. It's interesting you mention it. Yeah.
I don't know. I think we're past the, like, does it matter if there's one park, or does it matter if there's two parks, or are we at the point where just having one mega park would be, you know, why does it matter to them? Like, this is the bit I always try to think, why does it matter to them there are two parks? Initially it mattered because you could sell park hoppers and you could sell add-ons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you eventually get to a part where Disneyland is too busy, DCA is not busy enough, you're tight-ish for space, you do have some car parks and you do have a big space you could do, but you could instantly relieve for almost no money, for almost free, you could instantly improve the capacity problems in your park just by taking away that psychological sort of barrier to people
swapping parks. Yeah. I guess that could work.
It's a theory I've had for a long time that I've always thought, you know, Universal kind of cracked it with the Harry Potter swapping parks thing, where you could.
That was a very, very, it just makes sense, you know, having
and
this
I think,
transportation method that gets you from one part to the other. I mean, that could also work in DCA and Disneyland.
Yeah. I just, when I look at it, it just seems like such an obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It's an obvious trick that I'm not convinced that Universal won't try it as well.
Yeah.
Across, and you know, I think Islands Adventure and Universal Studios, again, if there was capacity issues, I think they could very quickly, you know, let's join the two parks together a bit more.
And it just like Walt Disney Studios and Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
It's the same situation, I guess.
It is. I mean, I'm not saying it is happening. I haven't heard anything to suggest it is, but it seems a no-brainer. Once you start to come up against capacity issues, you can instantly increase your capacity somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing that we should probably discuss, and I know we discuss this all the time, and there's absolutely very little concrete information on this, but it seems more and more that Disneyland Paris is going to introduce a Star Wars land.
Yes.
At the back of Discovery Land, which, if you've not been in our Discord server, we call Discovery's Edge. Simply, it's Galaxy's Edge. And it's Galaxy's Edge and Discovery Land put together, so Discovery's Edge. This seems to be gaining traction. The only thing that's been kind of thrown up is there's a refurb this week off the Discovery Land Theatre, which I don't know if it's a... I mean, we'll have to wait and see, because it either is a refurb and we're going to see things refurbished, or B, this is an intrusive survey to find out how quickly and how easily they can tear the damn thing down.
Yeah, so I've heard personally that it's not a very exciting development, mostly because what I was told is just that they're kind of redoing the entrance because it wasn't as accessible as it should be. So they're kind of working out accessibility problems, but it's taking like a 3 weeks, I think, for everything to work, and you know the whatever they are doing inside. So it's quite possible they're just, you know, planning things out and kind of looking at everything and, you know, just trying to see how they're gonna pull it off, because
it's suspicious.
It's very suspicious, because according to the rumors, the theater is going. They're trying to connect the Star Wars land to Star Tours, which would make this make Star Tours a very exciting and kind of even transport people from Discovery Land into the new Star Wars land, which would be, you know, a very, very fun transition.
It makes some sense, because if you look at it, Star Tours is in the wrong place for all this anyway. Star Tours is just in the road of everything. Because you've got a lovely space to the left of Star Tours, and you've got a lovely space to the right of Star Tours. Huge expansion pads that are available. But you can't use them almost, because everything's just in the road. So I do think that Star Tours will have to play an important part, because Star Tours may be, you know, the way that you bridge that you might have to go through that building to get left and through that building to go right. And I think that's probably somewhat likely that they're going to have to build the Star Tours building into the new land in some sort of way that's slightly more interesting than just a tunnel.
And I remember seeing someone planning things out with the layout of the Star Tours building, and it wouldn't be that hard to kind of connect it to a new land. You just kind of have to extend the exit area to the right. So when you leave the ships, you have that corridor that goes back to Discovery Land. If you continue to the front, so as you leave the ship, that will take you to the plot of land. So that there's... It's not a big construction thing that has to happen to kind of work everything out. It's quite straightforward, and I think it would add a lot to the experience.
I also so just, I mean, it seems like a worthy land of the obviously Galaxy's Edge. Galaxy's Edge is doing phenomenal things for the stateside parks. I think they want a bit of that in Europe. Europe loves Star Wars as much as America. It's a nice, easy, solid... It's one of the few IPs that when you build it, people don't complain about. They're not... People like Star Wars and IP. They're quite happy to have additional IP in Star Wars. Like, it still has shows on Disney+, so it makes all the right noises. I thought they'd keep the Discoveryland Theatre. Everybody else says they probably won't. I find it so suspicious. It's just, that's the word I've got for it. Suspicious. That
it is.
We're in a situation where they've had the Discoveryland Theatre. It's been open since, I don't know if it opened with the park, but opened not long after the park.
It opened with the park. It's
original.
It was called, which is interesting.
And it's been acceptable from opening day then till now. Yeah. And right as we're about to get rid of it, we've decided to improve the entrance to that. That does not make any sense to me. And certainly, Philharmagic is certainly, it's a nice additional thing you could do to get out the cold or the rain, or maybe it's too hot. But it's not, nobody's like, oh, we must get to Philharmagic. Like, that's not part of a Disneyland Paris plan. Nobody's like, oh, that's where I need to be right now.
Yeah,
and it doesn't even fit
there compared to the Magic Kingdom version. It's just sad. The screen doesn't grow, and there's not a Donald Duck animatronic in the back. It's completely.
I think it would. The odd thing is, it would work quite well as a Jedi training academy.
Yeah, it would.
But it would be a lovely little indoor, temperature controlled, you know. Build it out a little bit, put some props in it. You could also have a build a droid and build a lightsaber nonsense in it. Like, it seems a shame that if the plan is to rip it down, because I almost think it probably does have a function, just not what it's... I mean, you could do all that now, though. Like, I don't understand why we don't do it now.
I guess Star Wars is, you know, very successful. They're currently meeting with Grogu and the Mandalorian right to the side of it. Like, the meet and greet is right there. So, yeah. Wasn't there a Jedi training academy in Discovery Land? I think it was in the Hyperion Cafe.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. It was downstairs in the gallery. But
yeah, exactly.
It just seems like one of those really interesting ideas that, of course, we probably won't pursue because why bother? Why do the simple stuff? I despair some days. So let's jump completely. Let's jump completely and let's talk about Epic Universe, because Epic Universe is looking, for lack of a better term, epic. The hotels look stunning. The concept looks stunning. The roller coasters now exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one thing I probably would say is the marketing has been so poor for telling you just how cool some of these roller coasters look.
Yeah.
So have you seen the big yellow roller coaster thing? The
Starfall Racers.
Oh, how good does that look?
That looks amazing. That looks truly spectacular.
Like, as a roller coaster, that must be one of the largest in the sort of Orlando town area. Like, it just looks so epic.
Yeah, it's a cooling coaster as well, so it's very cool.
Nintendo Land looks dreadful. It looks very tight and very... I think the rides will be very good, and I'm very excited to go into it, but I think it's just, it looks so tight. It looks like you're going to be crushed up against people.
It does, yeah. I agree.
And, you know, J.K. Rowling wanted that for the Harry Potter land, but I'm kind of like, oh, did you not learn from that? The Donkey Kong coaster, the werewolf coaster, like, they just look so good.
They do. They definitely do. And so you were saying that the marketing has been poor?
In the sense that I think the marketing has focused on young kids and families, but actually this might be one of the, you know, SeaWorld is probably the coaster capital of the central Orlando just now. But this is likely to take, I mean, there's some really good roller coasters going to be there on opening day.
Yeah, is it like 4 coasters?
Yeah.
And very good coasters as well.
That's why I'm just kind of like, I think you're underselling this in some ways. Like, this is going to be fairly, for lack of a better word, epic.
Epic, yeah.
Epic. The one thing I have wondered, so the UK pricing has come out for next year, and it only went up £25.
For the summer already?
Yeah. So oh, really? 2025's pricing is already out.
And is that including Epic Universe?
I presume it does. That's the other thing. It possibly doesn't. But I don't think they would get away with selling like a combination ticket that doesn't include it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the ticket packages for the UK are very cheap compared to most other markets, I guess.
Yeah.
So, in a way, they maybe just kind of want to get people there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the UK ticket. So if I do a UK ticket for 2024 for 14 days, it's for Universal's 3 parks, and that's Volcano Bay and the 2 theme parks.
Yep.
It's £325. And then if I do 2025, it's £349. So £1 shy of £350. So...
Does it's work only for full year for the whole year, or
yeah, it's a full year ticket. Well, it's 14 days at any point in the year.
Oh, wow.
So I mean, it doesn't say anything about Epic Universe, but then Epic Universe has never been advertised, you know, with an opening day. So
yeah, I mean,
I definitely cannot see them saying, yeah, you're not going to be able to use your 2025 ticket. Like, that seems very unlikely.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
And the other thing is, so if I go on the official website, it's the same. The pricing's the same. Mm-hmm. There's no way, and it's the odd thing is, Universal don't actually sell their own tickets. It forwards you to Attraction Tickets Direct. So there's no way. If you go on UniversalOrlando.com and you click buy a ticket in the UK just now, you can buy a 2025 ticket for £25 more than 2024. And you can buy it just now. There is no way they can have Epic Universal on the front page and then say, oh, but it'll be a different, like, the ticket that you've bought won't
work. It would be pretty bad.
it would be very silly. What do you think? Do you think Universal would charge more? They've never done it before.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, the whole concept of the Epic Universe tickets is still kind of unknown. Last time, I mean, it's pretty confusing.
Volcano Bay was the latest edition, and Volcano Bay was part of the standard ticket from the get-go, and there was no increase.
Okay. Yeah,
but that's not the same, is it?
Yeah, it's not. So I don't know what's going to happen. I truly don't know. I one thing I do know is that we don't have attraction tickets here in Portugal, so it just kind of sends me to the normal.
I probably shouldn't say this, but we have no sponsors to lose, so it doesn't really bother me. You can buy a UK ticket and it's digital. So if you use a VPN, you physically can buy Universal tickets, and they are digital. They come to you as an e-voucher. So,
well, then I guess I know what I'm doing next time. I just
add them straight to the Universal app. So,
oh wow!
So yeah. It's the same for Disney tickets as well. They're e-tickets that then you can add to the app. So, I mean, the app might be you might have to change your app region to the UK, but mm-hmm. currently, like, the app store for Apple, it's the same app between Europe and Britain. Or you could just keep the barcode that you can print out.
I guess I know what I'm doing next time. For those prices, yeah.
I don't understand why it's not all of Europe, but certainly the UK, attractiontickets.com. You'll see it. We don't get any sponsorship for them. They should maybe sponsor us, because I plugged them away. But you can absolutely go on attractiontickets.com and you can get the sort of digital passes. And, you know. So there. Anyways, do you have anything else you think we should mention? Because I think that's about as wrapped up.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, well, we can always hop on a bit of Lion King, you know, just to keep on the conversation going for that third land coming to Walt Disney Studios. I don't have a lot of new things to talk about over there. Ellie shared that the ride is going to be around 15 minutes. That was something I had heard. Yeah, I had heard that it was between 10 and 20 minutes. And
that's a long ride.
Came out and said 15. So, I mean, how long is Pirates of the Caribbean in Paris? Is it like 8 minutes or 9 minutes?
Yeah, so it is.
15 minutes. That's very big. Very, very, very big. And someone also pointed out that if you kind of see all the major music from the movie, it comes out at 17 minutes. So that's
Rise of Resistance is 18 minutes.
18? I mean, what does that count? Does that count?
Well, I'd imagine that's from when you get on the little chip.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. But still, 15 minutes for a water ride. That's very big. And I'm very excited to learn.
It's incredible.
You know, at this D23 Expo, that's the rumor, that D23 Expo will be the place to be to learn everything there is to learn about The Lion King. So,
That's a good place for us to wrap up then.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us in the podcast, and Well, we'll see you on the next one, whenever that is.
Yeah, see ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.